Blog Talk Radio.
Intro music. Oh my God. We got intro music. And I believe this is the last installment of Don't Miss God with my brother Trey Gupton. Are you there?
I'm here.
And man, this has just been a wonderful week. People have been getting blessed. I've had, telling you earlier, I had somebody call me today and asking for help. They listened to the last episode and they just needed help, man. I got to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And man, Trey, it's just been a blessing, man. And I just want to tell you thank you again for opening your life up. And maybe I'll be able to squeeze a little bit more out of you today, man. What do you think?
Well, you know how to do it, man. I'm here for it, man. Praise the Lord.
Well, I highly appreciate it, man. Well, this is the Choose to Joy broadcast, and man, I have yet to introduce myself. We're going to have four episodes, and I don't think I've said my name one time. And I was thinking I was going to go, if I was ever going to be on the radio, I was going to go by my high school nickname, which is Saint Vincent. And everybody, I was named after the middle school me and you went to. And but my name is Brother Eric, and we'll figure all that out later. But I'm the host, and this is the Choose the Joy broadcast, and we've just been doing a week on Don't Miss God on who you marry, and more importantly, don't miss God on the relationships you get involved in, and even more importantly, don't miss God when he tells you to do something. Do not make the wrong decision of going against what the Lord is telling you. He tells you because he loves you. He doesn't tell you not to do something because he's just being a mean, evil dictator over your life, telling you so he can bless you, so he can help you and keep you from making some very bad decisions. So Trey, let's hop right on into it, man. We're going to try to go through the recaps a little bit fast because we've been going over your past relationships, which ultimately led you into the wrong decision of who you got involved with, who's actually your wife now, and we're going to get the victory report at the end of this show on your marriage now. But we went through your pivotal relationships in your life. Your first one was your first love. It was your first sexual experience, and it was your junior high school sweetheart, and you ended up really falling for each other on the way to the eighth grade during that summer. And we won't go into much of that, but then that relationship ended up in a heartbreak. When you went to high school, she ended up sleeping with somebody else, and when you found out, I mean, that really hurt. The hurt you've never experienced before. You didn't even know. And I was just thinking about, Trey, how many people are more whole in life because they never experienced that pain, because they don't get involved in that kind of relationship? Would that make them more of a sound, whole person if they don't get their heart broken their freshman year in high school?
I believe absolutely, man. Hurt affects people in so many different ways, man. And God is always trying to give us wisdom. He laid it out in his word how to avoid all these hurts and trials, and not to say that you can avoid hurt in your life completely. People are going to do wrong, but boy, you sure can make decisions that won't have you devastated. And that hurt, that type of emotional heartbreak, it does alter your personality. It changes your perception. It hardens you. The one thing that it does not automatically make you do is make you wiser and more humble to actually follow the Lord. People usually, myself included, just kind of repeat the same patterns over and over again as time, you know, as they say, heals the wound. It doesn't really heal it. You just get over it, but you don't learn. And, man, the people that I know, and they are not many, that have not experienced that kind of emotional trauma, They are much more sound. They're nicer. They're sweeter people. They're not as jaded to the world and relationships as people that have been hurt are. And so I definitely think, man, there's something to be said, as you said before, man, teen dating, getting in relationships that are not from God, that you know are not going to lead to a covenant between you and this person, is just a really stupid idea. It is just training you to learn the art of divorce, of failure in relationships, and how to cope with hurt. And so, yeah, I definitely think, man, people that don't go through that, which is, you know, the point of me opening up my life is to try to persuade as many people as possible, particularly young people, to stop getting in relationships that you know are not from God, that are just something that is attractive to you, that appeals to your flesh, that everybody else is doing, but it's not going anywhere. It's going to hurt you, and it will affect you.
It's true. And thank God that, geez, I remember I read these words, and I said, oh, Lord, it just hits home. Because Jesus said he's come to heal the brokenhearted. So if you've ever been in that situation where somebody's broke your heart, especially in like a relationship where it's physical or a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, and even a husband and wife relationship where your heart's been broken, Jesus specifically said that he's come to heal the broken heart, man, and he's able to do it, and where you just don't have that residue of those past relationships. Now, moving right along, Trey, your second relationship, this is where it got serious. Even though it was pretty quick, like I said, it seemed like maybe it was a week or 2 weeks long at best. And but this girl, she was a grown woman, and she was a young man, 15 years old, and she's letting you drive a car, and she, let's just say she seduced you, really, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. She overwhelmed me. This is I'm still 15 at this point. I'm in high school. This is not long after breaking up with the first girlfriend and going through all that. And, man, long story short, man, I was 15. She was 27. She was involved as a counselor, a leader, worked for the church that I was attending. And, man, we had a friendship that very quickly evolved into something sexual and something overwhelmingly sexual for somebody 15. Like I said before, man, the 27-year-old sex life is very different than the 15-year-old. I mean, there shouldn't be a 15-year-old sex life, but it's very different. But it's very different. It's overwhelming. It did a lot for my ego, did a lot for my pride. It did a lot for me, you know, again, sexually. It trained me to like some things and get involved in things that I should have never even had on my mind at the time. And so it was overwhelming. It wasn't as emotional and in love, although I did like it, was absolutely infatuated, but it was more so just with the situation as a whole, infatuated with how she was sexually, her interest in me, the perks that came with it. I was a kid having a grown person relationship. Of course, you know, she had a house, car, and all that. So it was different, and it was very it did a lot for my ego. And then again, of course, it also alters you once again. All you have all these experiences, and each one of them sticks some type of perception, some type of behavior, some type of either self-esteem lowering or hiring. It sticks all this stuff in you in each relationship you have that fails, and this one was so wrong on so many levels. It did the same thing. It was overwhelming, and it was over pretty quickly.
I remember, it's funny this has come out. We're trying to go through the recap fast, but this stuff keeps coming up. I remember talking to you about her while you was going through it, and I was like, because I saw you starting to get, like, serious. I'm like, Trey, you can't get serious. She's like, you can't get serious with her. I mean, she's older. I'm thinking this is not going to last. You just got to do what you do. I can't. I think so differently now. I'm Christian. I'm saved now. But back then I was trying to tell you, you know, you just get in there, you do what you do, and you get out. You know, you can't get all serious about this lady. And I remember you getting offended at me and getting upset with me when we had that conversation. And But it ended abruptly anyway, regardless of what I said or what you said. It ended abruptly.
I tried to tell Eric at the time, man, if you don't understand what's happening to me, man, you cannot resist. Every part of
and
you gets
right.
involved with it. Just, it's
you
overwhelming. Man. They know how to do it, man. It's just you don't have a choice, man. But and that's
you
not
told me
you
years
do
later.
Have a choice. But years later,
you told
man,
me years
I,
later
I
what was what really happened. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And let's just move
yeah,
right
it was,
on. Cause that's not good for anybody's soul to hear. But praise God, moving right along. Haven't heard too many people get treated like that. Let's move right along. Because the next relationship is the most pinnacle. It's the most important one. It's the one where the rubber met the road, where you actually, this time, you had a decision to make. You got involved with this girl. This is like your adult, your high school, but you're leaving high school. It's like your adult relationship, so to speak. Y'all were still really young. But, I mean, y'all went out of the country together, you guys. I remember y'all was traveling, you know, up and down 65, y'all go going to Atlanta, y'all went to Kentucky, y'all went to theme parks, you know, and you spent so much time with each other. But before you went out to St. Lucia, you went over to your pastor's house. At the time, it was Brother Scales, I believe, and he tells you that this relationship is a trick from the devil, and you need to leave her alone. And then he tells you you can either learn from what he's telling you, or you can learn through experience. Is that right?
Man, that's exactly what it is. The exact words were, it's a trap from the devil. I'll never forget, man, because it sounded so overwhelming and so so definitive, you know, for somebody who, you know, hadn't had much discussion with me about the relationship. Like I said, I mentioned we didn't talk much about it, which I liked, because, like I said, I really didn't want Jesus or anybody interfering with that part. I wanted that kind of left alone. I wanted to feel like I was all right with that relationship. And he did. He told me it was a trap from the devil and that it was going to end badly for me and that I needed to leave her alone and that I would either learn from what he was saying and obey it or that I would see on down the line through experience. And so I was pretty offended because, again, I loved her and it felt like he was saying something against her, which he wasn't. And, man, but on the inside, it kind of brought very much to the forefront something I really already knew in my heart, that this girl and I were not on the same page spiritually. And not to say that I was even completely right. I was very one foot in, one foot out. But I wanted to follow the Lord, but I did not know how. Had not really given my heart to the Lord. But I was very interested in things that God, Pastor Scales, was teaching us a lot of things, man. And she just wasn't interested in him, didn't really believe in him the way that I did. Not to say she was a bad person or anything, but her beliefs were a little different and her interest was just a little different. But because she hit so many of the other standards that I kind of set for myself, I liked her so much as a person, her personality. She was smart, intelligent, beautiful, had moral standings about herself. She was a virgin, all that stuff. And so ultimately I decided to stay with her, and it's really something that's important to note here, man. Indecision is a decision. At no point in my heart or in my mind did I consciously say, no, I'm not going to do what the Lord said. When you just choose not to obey him, that's a decision to tell the Lord no. And
good
that's
point.
Ultimately what I did, although it bothered me. And there were even points in a relationship where I remember her saying that she could tell that it was bothering me, even though I never even divulged any of this to her throughout the whole time that we were together or even afterwards, this conversation that Pascal's had with me. But she knew that there was a difference there that bothered me. And man, I just chose to ignore it. I chose to disregard the words of the Lord. I chose to side with my emotions and my feelings and all that stuff, man. And it proved out to be true. To shorten it up, man, we did go to college. I did go on the trip. Well, we did stay together. And we just went through this long breakup in college that was just very weird and hurtful, like a divorce, like a separation before you actually file paperwork and it was just very hurtful, man. It was devastating for me, man. I didn't even know. Again, like I said, you don't think it can even be that devastating.
Let me ask you this. Why do you believe it hurt you so bad? I mean, that breakup was horrible for you. Why?
It was horrible, man. And you know, it's amazing. At the time, man, I didn't really know how deeply emotionally invested I was in her, man. I really loved her. We had a relationship that was very, you know, it was as close to husband and wife as you can get for somebody that age. It was much more than we should have been doing at that age. We had a good friendship, but the relationship was just so much, man. She was literally like my partner. Like, she was my best friend, and we just spent a lot of time together. I'd invested a lot of time and money and just my heart, and the relationship was just so much a part of it, more so than I knew, man. And so, you know, again, like I said, the devastation was kind of blindsiding. It wasn't I would have never even foresaw that level of depression coming. Sure, you know, you'd be hurt, but it really was more overwhelming than I thought it could have been, man. And
That's why I never believed. You see why, Trey, all these years, I never believed in giving somebody your heart and all that falling in love stuff, man.
It is really stupid, man. It's really
tough. Can't let no woman.
I always
take you
seem to meet
that
girls
like
that know how to make you do that. They know how to just. I don't know if you never had one, but she just don't really give you a choice. But I always seem to meet the girls that are just irresistible, but nevertheless,
she was really, man, cool. But you get so invested, man. You put your heart, soul into these relationships. Like, I don't even hear from
you. I was
you.
That type
you,
of person.
When
man,
you get
I
involved
did.
With somebody, man, I don't even hear from you that much anymore. Unless you get like your hair cut.
Yeah, man.
The
it was very serious. It was, man.
Listen.
So the,
go ahead.
No, I was saying it was just very, you're right, it was very serious, I was very serious, and that makes the hurt that comes from it very serious. And long story short, it was what Pascal said, man, and it wasn't until years later, man, in my marriage, waking up one day with just all of the financial responsibility, all of the stress and the unhappiness and just the life that I was not happy with, I was wondering, man, how did I get here? And I remember tracing it back and seeing the domino effect of how everything kind of spawned out of that decision to stay with her and the hurt that came out of it and all the decisions I made and the detours that happened during that period while I was depressed that led me to the marriage that I was in, the career that I was in, the way that I made money. And so,
well, let's get into that real
said,
quick, because I wanted to make sure we hit on that, and most people who know you, it's kind of hard not to know because of the situation you just came out of. But so you was going to school, you get depressed, and let me say this about you, Trey. You've always been pretty much about your books, man, and you made really good grades throughout junior high school and high school, and then getting accepted to a really good college like Rhodes College. And did you get a scholarship to go there?
Yeah, I did. I was on academic scholarship, man. It was paid for.
So me knowing you, knowing if everything was fair game, you would have completed college with flying colors and would have went into some kind of career business making money. I know that about you. But you got depressed in school and you stopped going to class. Why did you drop out of college?
Man, again, it's one of those things, man, where you are, depression is numbing, man. Your judgment is compromised. Your drive and your ambition is affected. And to be honest, your self-esteem is always affected. Your aspirations are affected. Your drive to be, that was one of the first times in my life that I ever remember feeling that defeated. And it's amazing. It's not even logical because nothing practically was really wrong. It's just hilarious to me now. It's almost embarrassing to think that you let one woman affect you that much, man. But people do it all
See,
the time, man.
I can't do it.
Huh?
I can't do it, Trey. I can't do that. I just can't do it.
No.
Let a woman. Let a woman.
It's just, man, it's incredible, man. That's why it's so stupid to invest your heart in something that's not from God, that's not going to be a covenant that He cannot bless. But anyway, having said all that, yeah, man, it the depression, man, it affected your judgment. It affected all those things, man, and it just affects your functionality, man. Rhodes was the type of school that was very academically driven. It was not something that you could breeze by just doing it with anything less than your full effort, and especially for me because I had a certain GPA I had to maintain to keep my scholarship and my funding. So, man, it just affected everything, man, and so it wasn't somewhat of a decision. It was more of a. It just happened, man.
Did you just decide not to go back one day, or did you? If you don't mind me, if you don't mind answering.
No,
really
it's
know.
Some
did,
of
did
both,
get,
man. I didn't get kicked out. But man, my GPA fell because of my lack of going to class, and it became a situation where I would have had to do a lot and pay a lot of money to re-enlist and get my GPA back to where it would have been and all that type of stuff. And I became disinterested in doing it, man, and it actually affected my drive to even want to be there. I pretty much just said, well, forget it. And it's the amazing thing about depression, man. It's depression is very self-destructive. You make very compromised decisions, and then once you make those decisions and the effect of those decisions comes home, you're further depressed and you're further just distraught about your situation. And that's kind of how it was, man. It's like a snowball thing, man. And so that's kind of how
like
it happened, man. It snowballed.
It's like your depression led to more depression.
It's exactly how it is, man. Yep.
And so
yep.
You decide to not go back, or you decide to just go ahead and drop out, forget it. Then,
yeah. Well, once I
moment,
came back, I just decided not to try to go back. When I came back from my second year, I decided not to try to go back, and I decided that I would just go into business for myself, and which was always a end game goal for me was to go in business for myself. I didn't plan on doing it without having achieved a certain level of education first and maybe getting some experience working for some different companies. But nevertheless, man, that's the way it played out because of my decision and the effects of it and depression and my mind state at the time. And so once I decided not to come back because of how I felt I messed that up so badly, I decided to go into business for myself, into real estate. And
okay.
So I began at the time. Anybody that knows about the Financial Times of that period, man, they were giving out loans to your cat and your dog, man. I believe I was 19 or 20 buying my first few houses, man, and they gave me loans, and I began to try to buy houses to resell some I rented out, and real estate is one of those things that it's easy to get into if the financing is there, but you really have to know what you're doing. And I was smart, but I was not educated in that business, and I learned a lot from trial and error. And long story short, man, getting in that business and getting into financial crunches of having lots of liability and mortgages to pay and responsibility, man, I needed more money. I needed more cash flow. And so the opportunity to get into illegal business, man, came across my path, and I decided to take that opportunity. I had the opportunity to sell marijuana in large amounts, and so I took that opportunity, man, to supplement my real estate business. And
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
So how did that start? Did somebody just come to you with a package and say, hey, can you take this up the street, or how did it even start? I've never even had that come across my table where I could actually become or hustle and start moving marijuana. So with you, how did it start?
Well, you know, without saying too much because of current situations, but
yeah,
man, there was somebody close to there was somebody close to me that was already and had been in this line of work for a long time, and I knew it, and so ultimately, you know, I just approached them with a business plan, with an idea that I had, and pretty much it jumped off from there. I was fortunate. It's almost like any business. A lot of it's connected to who you know, and I just happened to know somebody, and I pretty much went at it straight on. Once I got rolling, man, I got rolling. And so that's, to answer your question, that's how it started, man. I knew somebody that was close to me in a sense, and I just went and proposed something to them, and I started from there.
It's funny you say that, because you're like the last person. I remember when I found out. I mean, you didn't like it. You came up to me and told me, like, hey, man, I'm selling drugs. I found out. When I found out, man, I was like, devastated. I was hurt, you know, because I was like, man, this is like, I knew this was not you, man. This is not the career path God's caused you to go down by any means. And it just takes you back to the beginning that if you hang around people, evil communications corrupt good manners, morals, and character. So even if you hang around people that do something you don't aspire to do, in the long run, you could be doing the same thing that they're doing. I mean, you had no intentions on hustling and selling drugs, but you became closer and closer to somebody who did, and finally, you're doing the same thing that they're doing.
Man, it's so true, man. That scripture that you mentioned, 1 Corinthians 15:33, man, evil. And that word evil makes the scripture sound like it's talking about somebody that's just murdering somebody or doing something that we would think of as heinous. But evil just being anything that's not godly, if you hang around that stuff and let that stuff constantly flood your eyes and your ears, man, it desensitizes you to how evil and wrong it is, and you ultimately get desensitized to the idea of making that wrong choice yourself. And so I grew up, in a sense, around that business, around this person, knowing that they did this, and this person was such a great person in my eyes. It desensitized me to the danger of it, how wrong it was. It desensitized me to it. And so at a time where I had a need for money, it was an option to me for that reason. And had it not been around it so much, it never would have been. It never would have popped up in my mind to be on the wrong side of the law. It would have never occurred to me. It would have never been an option. But nevertheless, it was, man. And you know, the important thing again, I want to mention to people is, man, people make so many decisions out of hurt. Hurt leads to so many decisions. If people look back over their life, man, they've made so many decisions out of hurt, discouragement. The things that have affected your emotions and your soul and your thinking, you make decisions out of them, man, and they're always almost the wrong decision. They're not wisdom. It's the thing about hurt. It does not automatically shoot you over to the wisdom side of thinking. And so, man, I share all this just for the purpose of letting people know, man, again, relationships, which are generally the biggest parts of people's lives, man. What people are hurt about 9 times out of 10 is something having to do with a relationship. And lots of decisions get made in life based on the hurt that comes from relationships. And it's subtle. It doesn't look like it. Like I said, it was years later that I actually realized that, man, all of this traced back to a time in my life where I made a decision not to hearken to the voice of the Lord and obey it, and it led to a bunch of decisions that don't even seem like they're connected to this. Like I said, who I married is connected to that, how I ended up making money, eventually going to prison, then not being able to be there for my daughter for that period of time. It's all connected to decisions that were made based off a relationship that wasn't from God and the hurt that came from it. And so, man, people need to know how serious it is and really take a minute to think about, man, the consequences, man. God does not tell us stuff for no reason, man. And his counsel and his word is so right, man. And I remember reading this scripture, man, and it I had never read it like this before in my life, man. You know, Jesus said, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." And people have heard that a lot of times, man, but most people, man, before they ever get a wife or a husband, they leave their father and mother and cleave on to somebody else that ain't a husband and wife. Man, Jesus taught that you leave your mother and father and enter into a relationship that is going to be your wife, not your girlfriend, not any of that other stuff, man. And people don't do it that way. They cleave to, you know, something else that they know ain't going to lead to a marriage or to a covenant. God designed it where when you cleave to somebody, it's to the person you're going to be in covenant with. And when you get in a habit and develop a cycle or a pattern, and it starts very young, of not doing that, people leave their father and mother and cleave to a girlfriend or boyfriend and girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend. And, you know, after doing that, you're going to end up choosing wrong, and you're going to get hooked up and linked with somebody, emotionally tied with somebody, as Jesus said, cleaving to somebody who is not your spouse, and they're going to cause you harm. And eventually when you do get a spouse, you're going to bring all of that damage and all of that hurt into that wrong relationship, man. And it's just devastation, man. So I really think that taking lightly this idea of dating casually and how people approach the idea of relationships and who they involve themselves with emotionally and sexually, it's not taken seriously enough, definitely not in the world and not even among Christians.
Man, you just said a crap load right there, bro.
well, it took a lot of hurt and experience for them words to get that.
But, man, what you said about somebody, what the Bible says, for this cause you'll leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife, not your boyfriend or your girlfriend.
No, man, Jesus taught that he said for this cause, and the cause he's talking about is marriage. So people need to ask themselves, what is the cause that I'm getting up and going to see this person, laying down with this person, talking to this person on the phone, getting emotionally involved? Is it for the cause of a godly marriage, or is it for the cause that I'm attracted to them, or they like me, or I want to be with somebody, or... You know, it's just a social norm now. People get to a certain age, man, and they just think they're supposed to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and but it's not for the cause that Jesus taught, man, and it ends up in hurt. It ends up in hurt, man, and so I pray that people can learn from my mistakes, man, and again, not everybody's situation is as devastating and life-impacting as mine, but most are, and lots are even worse. And so,
but yours was extremely devastating. What we found out so far, just on today's episode, is that the relationship you had in your high school and your some of your freshman year in college relationship ended in a bad breakup for you, especially, and... out of that, you got really depressed. That depression led you into, one, marrying somebody that you would have never married in any other circumstances or any normal circumstances, and two, led you, had a big deal to do with the career you chose to start selling drugs, and which eventually led you to be incarcerated. And just one bad relationship, really not obeying the Lord and getting out because he tried to love you and help you and warn you, and not getting out of that relationship in due time led you into some mess, man.
Man, it does, man. You know, man, the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices or his schemes, and it's only talking about that to people who listen to the Lord and obey. Other than that, you ignorant. You don't have a clue what the devil's doing in your life, man. And people have to know that, man, there is a devil. He is your enemy. He does hate you, and he is out to destroy you. He's out to make your life a complete mess. And so, you know, I remember the words of Pastor Scales, man. He said that this is a trap from the devil. Man, that sounded so heavy at the time, and it sounded almost unrealistic that the devil would be trying to trap me by means of some relationship. And but he does it to people all the time, and it doesn't mean the person is of it doesn't mean any of that. It's that, man, without listening to the Lord, you're going to make decisions, and probably, man, after they've even affected your life, man, most people, it's only because of the Lord and me actually finally getting to a place in life where I humbled myself and began to seek the Lord that I even saw how these decisions and how not listening to the Lord and how the devil had just set me up, unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to the people that he was using, unbeknownst to any of this stuff. And he probably used me in people's lives likewise. And so, man, you don't know any of this stuff without listening to the Lord. And so the point that I cannot stress enough is, you know, I try to connect these dots so that people can see how this one disobedience that seemingly had nothing to do with who you'll marry or your career or your money or incarceration or any of these things, it is connected. And without the Lord, you probably won't even see it. But you know, I want people to know that, man, it is so important, man, that you listen to God and obey him in his word and in whomever he's put in your life to speak in your life. If you have a pastor or somebody that's really from God that watches over your soul, as the Bible says they're supposed to do, man. And I hope people, man, really get from this story, man, that it is your decisions are affecting you in ways you don't even know. You know, we tend to make decisions based on evaluation of what we're willing to pay for the decision, even if we do think it's wrong, man. And it, man, the devil got a whole nother plan beyond what you think you're going to reap for that. And that was the case with me, man. So,
and it's the case with everybody. We talked about yesterday how you did reap in your relationship. You did get married, and in which I like to hit on that. Everybody around you told you in one way or another, the spiritual people around you, the unspiritual people around you said, don't do it, just wait, you're rushing it, don't get married. Even your pastor said, if you can get married and if you stay close to him, you'll make it, but you're going to be miserable. And we talked about how that you got married and that misery hit instantly. It was like a light switch. You went through instant misery. You were so depressed that you would come home and you started eating marijuana brownies just to take the edge off how hurt you was. And you talked about yesterday how you were so depressed at one point. And I think you further told me about the struggles of not just with your marriage at the time, but you was really the pressures of making it financially. Why don't you hit on that for just a sec?
Yeah, man. And so, like you said, I did get married. And at the same time all of this is happening, man, I've gotten into real estate. I've started soon thereafter, a little while after that, I started supplementing my real estate income and investments by selling marijuana. And that came with a lot of stress and pressure the more I got into that business and the bigger it got.
I do want to talk about that, but that's a whole nother segment, and we might need to wait a few minutes for, you know, everything to get clear, but I would really like to, for you to talk about just the whole drug game in general, because from what you talk to
people
me
need
about,
to be educated about it, man. They watch too much TV.
Never want to be involved. I'm happy working a 9-to-5, been going through the things and the stress and the pressures you had to go through. And, man, I mean, you just got a lot of stories to tell on that. But we'll bypass that for right now. But keep going. You was talking about your financial.
Yeah, man, to get to, without going into what you were talking about, again, being in that business, like many other businesses, it can be really good when it's really good, but when it's bad, it can be really bad. It's not like a job. You go to work, you're guaranteed to make money. If you don't go to work, you don't get paid. But in this business, not only can you make money or not make money, you can actually lose a lot of money and go backwards. And so that's what makes it very, very different and stressful. And so along with a unhappy marriage where I'd entered into and all of the fun and the sexuality and passion and friendship has just evaporated, you know, seemingly immediately, along with, you know, trying to cope with that, I was also under a lot of financial pressure and stress, and it's just so interesting because it all mixed in this big ball, man. Sometimes I'd have money and try to buy my way into some happiness with, you know, things that you can purchase, and then there'd be times where money is so tight and I need to make a lot of money and I'm trying to do this deal and do this, that, and the other. So it was so much stress and nowhere to run to get it off. Going home was not a safe haven. There was stress there. Providing for the home was stress. Being at home was stress. Everything was just stress and unhappiness, man. And
stress.
It was just stress, man. And so,
and you eventually, you're so stressed out that you became, I remember we talking about it, I'm trying to move this on because we got, time is running down. I remember you talking about it to me, how suicidal you was. And you told me that you had an idea to hire a hitman to take you out, or hire somebody to hire a hitman to take you out so that you would have insurance money to provide for your family. And I was like, Trey,
yeah, man,
you got to be
large...
going out of your mind. I thought you were going crazy. He's going crazy.
It's going great, man. I was, man. I felt like it, man. It, you know, it was just, you know, it was just thoughts that would pop up in my head, man, because I was just tired of existing the day to day. It just was not fun. It was miserable. And it didn't look like there was no end in sight. It wasn't getting any better. Man, it was just, it was miserable.
Tell me how it is now. We got about, we got a few minutes left, and, I wanted to open it up. If anybody, we got a few people on here I'm seeing that have called into the show. If anybody got any questions for Trey, just hit the one button and I'll punch you in. But Trey, go ahead and tell us how Jesus brought you through in the victory you've seen now just by trusting him and being honest.
Well, I have to say, man, that, again, without going into the depths of it, at the end of all of this, man, I end up going to prison. Years later, I go to prison, and I'm just now getting out. And so, man, going to prison was the most devastating event of my life. But in that, man, it was, God did some marvelous things, man. For the first time in the most genuine way that I ever have, man, I really just lost my life. And when I say lost my life, I lost all my selfish ambitions and self-centeredness about myself. And, you know, my life eventually became more about helping other people, man, in prison. All this stuff that Pascal has been teaching us all these years, man, I got put in a place where I had to put it to practice in a way where it either had to work completely or it just didn't work. And so, man, I was able to do that, man, and it brought me to the end of myself, as they say. And that's the blessing in all of it, man. And so in that happening, man, and really letting Jesus just teach me and help me and be my everything, man, and, again, getting my mind off of me, all these decisions we're talking about are based off selfishness. Most people get married, choose mates and all that stuff because they're thinking about their self. They're not thinking about what they want to offer somebody or any of that. It's all selfishness. And so that experience, man, really changed me, and it changed my perception of my marriage, where I even stopped thinking about that in terms of what I'm getting, and it freed me from, you know, caring so much about, you know, my wife's side of the equation and just focusing more on what I live towards her. And, again, being in prison, I had to do that, you know, and so that's the point where I believe the real victory came. And that's a whole another story about the prison testimony. But for me, that's the point where the victory really came spiritually and mentally for me, is when I got to a point where you just come to the end of yourself. You finally give up. You surrender your life. As Jesus said, you get to where you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and just make your life about doing what he say, and then let him bless you. Amen. And elevate you. And he's starting to do that today in my life, in every way, financially, in my marriage, most importantly, in myself. And that's the victory, man. And I hope people, you don't have to go through all this to get to that. You don't have to get devastated, have wrong relationships, get married wrong, and do all this to get to that. But ultimately, that is the crux of the story, man, to come to the end of yourself and submit yourself to God's plan. It really is the best for you. Do what he says. He'll keep you away from stuff that's not right, and then you'll be blessed. And so I'm starting to experience that today in my life in more of a way than I ever have before, in every area, man. God's just showing himself to be strong and trustworthy in every area, in my own mental and emotional happiness, in my finances, in my marriage, in everything. And so, man, that's what I would have to say is the end game for everybody is, man, come to the end of yourself. Get over yourself and what you want.
Man, that's the word of the year, get over yourself. Man, Trey, we are
get over yourself,
out of time. We're completely out of time, man. And I just want to say again, thank you. I'm trying to cut this thing off before it just closes automatically on everybody. But, man, I want to say thank you once again, man. I really appreciate how honest and open you've been with your life. I mean, this is some of the stuff we've talked about behind closed doors for years. And just for you to open yourself up to be a blessing to help other people, man, that's just that's great. It's very unselfish of you, and I highly, highly appreciate it. Man, we're gonna try to hook this back up next week. Got a few guests in mind, and Lord willing, we'll have all come through, and we'll just be led by the Lord. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. I'm your host, Eric Roberts, and we're out of here. Thanks again, Trey, man, for all your wisdom and your words, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Man, I love you.
Love you.